Okay. Now our speaker, Stacy, will share her experience for 15 minutes on pages 60 through 63, step 3. And you're okay with being recorded, yes?
Yes.
Great. Thank you, Stacy.
Welcome. Hello, everybody. I'm Stacy Kay. I'm in Colorado, and I am an alcoholic and an addict, a compulsive overeater, and you know, I absolutely qualify for Al-Anon. I'm grateful to be here. Thank you, Jeff, for asking me. You know, I just some of you already know me a little bit. I'm shocked to see people I know for some reason. I expected to see a bunch of people that I don't know. But I came into these 12-step rooms in a hurry and desperate. I came to AA, Al-Anon, and OA all pretty much at the same time, which was crazy. But I recognized that I had issues in all of those cases, that I was multiply addicted, you know, that I sort of changed. Sometimes I would do everything all at once. Sometimes I would do one or two of my addictions, you know, like I just jumped like seats on the Titanic, you know, but alcohol definitely and drugs were killing me first. And so I was not nowhere near ready to stop eating compulsively. And I did both Al-Anon and AA at the same time and got a good solid foundation in Al-Anon. But what I want to say about that is that desperation really took me through those first couple of steps, you know, pretty quickly. I mean, the alcohol and drugs did the trick, right? Like that's what convinced me of my first and second step. And it was many years later that I came to BBA, right? I've only been here since COVID, the beginning of COVID, when they did the FOTS Zoom conference. And so, you know, I fell in love with this big book at my two years sober. I did Joe and Charlie, and I'm so grateful that it was just a blessing that I fell in love with this fellowship and I stuck, you know, of AA. I fell in love with the big book. I did whatever they told me to do, you know? And, you know, if I fast forward to when I got to BBA, when I came, it was just for me, I wanted another experience with the big book. And I don't know why, I probably had heard about BBA before, but you know, it glossed over me. And, but I came in a place where, you know, I was food sober and of course, alcohol and drugs sober for decades. And I did the chaos creating thing first and was blown away because I came, I just thought, oh, I have another experience. Da, da, da. Well, I had an incredible experience with this book in step one for this Al-Anon piece. And I was sold. I was sold. And plus I met people like-minded people that really wanted to continue to grow along spiritual lines, right? And to continue to practice these principles and learn more and kind of had the same, they were on the same trajectory, right? I just couldn't get enough of this BBA when I first came and I still can't. I think this is where I've sort of landed for a while. You know how like you go to different groups and you sort of land for a while and then maybe you go other groups, right? And that's kind of been my experience anyway. And, you know, I love, you know, my God squad. I love doing this work. I love working with others, but we're going to talk about the third step, which is so awesome for me today. You know, it says being convinced, we're at step 3. Well, what are we convinced of? Those ABCs, right? That we're alcoholic, cannot manage our own lives, probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism in that good could and would if he were sought. And you know, I gotta be done. I gotta have that foundation. And so I wanted to just jump around a little bit in this reading from 60 to 63, you know, this first requirement, being convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. I mean, you know, I would answer yes to that pretty easily, mostly without giving it much thought. But it wasn't really until recently when I did the work that I was like, this facilitator talked about, you know, playing God better as we're around longer, and how self-reliance works. And a lot of, you know, it will sometimes work, right? Especially when we get through these steps or we're sober a while. And then, you know, it's like, you know, you look around you, you know, and life is good. You're not in a lot of pain, or, you know, things are going well maybe in your life. Maybe you're getting married, maybe you're having kids, maybe you got a house and a car and a good job, or you're just, maybe you're just plain old at peace, you know, and content in your life. And so I was feeling pretty good. But things, you know, I started to struggle in my food program, and I found myself, I lost the freedom that I had when I first got food sober. It was like I was in like this self-reliant control mode, like trying to fix myself. I wanted to fix my fear problem and fix my food problem and fix my, you know, even some family problems with self-reliance. And that doesn't solve any of my problems, right? Where it seems like it's helping, it really made it worse. And you know, so it says here, if is he not on 61, is he not a victim of a delusion? My God, when I reread this morning in my before I meditated this morning, I was like, I had to underline delusion, you know, that we can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of this world if he only manages well. Like, I sometimes think, you know, like all my ducks in a row, and I got this. That's what's going on in my head. I got this, you know. So all the, you know, whether it be my kiddo or my husband or the food or whatever, it's like, okay, I got control of these things now, God. I got these things, and I take them back. And it's a delusion that this can work, because then what happens is things, you know, I couldn't do it with self-reliance, and things would, you know, like the ducks would be out of the row and I'd be freaking out. And it was a big lie that I was like holding this all together. And then it just like sort of crumbled. I am at my best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harmony. You know, the people closest to me, my family, my son and my husband, you know, pay the biggest price, right? And I am definitely the actor. I want all the other jobs, right? Not just the role God assigned me. You know, God assigns me to be his agent, his daughter, you know, his child, and his employer. I am not the boss. I am not running the show anymore. And any inventory I've done, even before BBA, I would fist step it, and I would write across from it, lack of acceptance, playing God again, right? Like I could just see how clearly I was doing that. And I wanted to so much fix it with this self-reliance piece. And, you know, if I think about my early sobriety and that desperation, I remember all through the day just saying the serenity prayer over and over again, so afraid that I'm going to go get some booze or go to my drug dealer or whatever, just praying over and over and over again. And I cried all the time in my first year of sobriety. And it's different when you're around for a while, right? I think, I don't know if it was Mark Houston or somebody else that said, you know, the years that I have are just like a noose around my neck. And, you know, I definitely feel that. because how it shows up with me is because I'm desperate to have this relationship with God. And I'm desperate to, you know, have this access to God, but I can't will away my selfishness or my self-reliance. I can't make myself, you know, surrender. You know, that's usually happens when I'm in the work, when I'm busy doing other things, you know, like, is that time, Jeff?
It's 5 minutes more, Stacey.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So there's a lot here. There's a lot here. And I'm just kind of skimming, but knowing, you know, that I can't will away, you know, when it says will away my selfishness, I can't do that. I can't do this. You know, 3 is sort of like 7 and 11, right? We can only ask God. We can only ask God, and then we do the next right thing. Sometimes it's the steps, right? Like, so in step 3, we do our 4 step. In step 7, we do 8 and 9. In step 11, we work with others, right? They're followed by action. It, you know, I can't play that role of God. I cannot. And so, but I still try. I still try, and I still get stuck. You know, I resist. I resist, and like, there's nothing like the feeling, right? When we surrender, it's like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And here's the ticket. It's just for that moment. It's just in the moment. My 3rd step doesn't last forever. You know, God removing my character defects that are blocking me from him. Or in the 11th step, when I ask God, I only get the next right thing. You know, I don't get what's in 5 years. So I got to keep doing this thing. And that's why, like, the 3rd step prayer is said so much, so much. The 7th step prayer, you know, if we go through the 11th, you know, I have to continue, you know, and this work that we do, it's amazing. The uncovering, you know, and then I get to discard and, you know, and just discover new ideas that I can sometimes turn into old ideas, right? But I get to keep practicing. And that's what I love about this spiritual progress, not perfection, that we get to continue. I'm going to cry. I'm going to cry because God really has blessed me to love this program and love this process. And so I can continue, you know, so I can continue to show up. Not everybody falls in love with AA or the 12 steps or this work. Some are very scared. Or I don't know. I don't know why I get this blessing, except for, you know, today I get to carry a message, you know? And so I have to do this 3rd step every day and all through the day, right? Because by noon, I could forget, you know, by noon or in the evening, especially when I'm tired, I'm not very conscious of, you know, anything. I'm just tired. And, you know, I need reminders. And that's the coolest thing about doing this work and working with others and continue my practice, right? 2-way prayer, going to God, looking for where I can improve in those inventories. That's part of my step 3, just like, okay, God, what do you got for me today? I remember this one guy. He was my grand sponsor at one time. He passed a few years ago. His name was Cliff Bishop, and he was an amazing Big Book guy. And he would talk about his morning, and he would just say, he would sit down with his cat and his coffee, and he'd go, okay, God, what do you got for me today? And I've never seen anybody love so much and help so much. Like, he was just available. And it was beautiful. He didn't have plans and designs. I mean, maybe at some level he did, but it never seemed that way to me back then, right? And so, you know, there's so much in here, and I just want to hear from you guys. You know, like, I could go on, and I'm sure I've forgotten things that feel important, but, you know, I think I said exactly what I need to say. So thank you. I hope it helped.